For November the 7th, 2025, we talk about Peak, Battlefield 6, The Tenants, and much more. Welcome to Level 563. My name is Kay Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm Moxie.
I'm Ben Merkel.
And you're listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Welcome back, everybody. Two consecutive weeks. So good.
Look at us.
Good for us. That is nice. Starting up November. Gonna warn people, I am keeping an eye. So we're recording this at, it's 8:30 Eastern on Tuesday. I am going to be keeping an eye on election results. Everybody knows how this is shaken out. If I interject with something, it is because, I can't not pay attention to it.
Either a fuck or a fuck yeah.
Yes. Be sure to listen for the rest of the sentence.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Fuck them. There's all sorts of variants that might come up.
Also, I want to announce here at the start, before we get into what we've been up to, we have a date and a charity for Duckstream. Duckstream this year is going to be happening on the 48 hours of the weekend of December the 12th. So starting at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Friday the 12th, going 48 hours streaming to support a new trans charity, Point of Pride, is what this is. This is an organization that provides direct financial aid to trans people who need things like HRT, electrolysis. There's a surgery fund, and they also give out free binding and shapewear and stuff like that.
Nice.
So save the date. We'll have more specifics as it gets closer. And there's going to be multiplayer and stuff that we're going to do. So just wanted to lay that out there at the start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Prepare yourself for Pico Park, one, two, who knows, potentially ending our friendships as it does every year.
I don't know if it didn't do it. If it didn't do it over the course of the last 2 years, I don't know that it will, it'll do it this time. There's still more. We have not done all of Pico Park 2.
I'm still throwing out, Monster Prom.
Oh yeah. Is that, that's a social deduction one, or is that?
No, it's kind of a dating sim.
Okay.
It is. Yeah, it's kind of a multiplayer dating sim, although it is mostly just an excuse to like have weird situations come up.
Okay. I remember looking at that for previous ones.
The game I played, I ended up dating like one of the eligible bachelors is like a demon, and in this scenario he was watching late night TV and thought he was watching drag racing, but was actually watching a drag show.
Okay.
And realized that he wanted to become a hairdresser, but his two fathers were like kings of hell or whatever.
Okay.
So in order to convince them to let him do it, he learned the ways of the ninja hairdresser and like gave them a full makeover without them realizing it. And like, again, just to give you an idea of like, it is ostensibly a dating game.
Okay. Now we're gonna have to put together a doc and stuff like that. Ben, I'm really sorry that you're not gonna be able to be there.
Yeah, I'll be at a wedding in Texas, so I'll just be among the audience members.
Unless it's your wedding, there is no excuse.
Oh, there's plenty of excuse. There's plenty of wedding was scheduled. Yeah. So that's the only like preamble stuff. Let's see. Dennis, what you been up to?
What have I been up to? Consuming more candy than should be physically possible. We're fortunate to live in a very generous neighborhood for Halloween.
How did the UFO abduction group costume end up working out?
Oh yeah.
On the
big it went great. I got way more props for being a man in black than I thought I would.
Okay.
Just people reacted well, and I had set it up so that I could actually like click the flashlight on my neuralizer to make it flash.
Okay.
People went wild for that shit.
Nice.
You've apparently found your color. Yeah, you know, black is your color.
Everyone also was extremely surprised that I stuck with the sunglasses as long as I did, which I had to explain to like six different people, like, well, you know, I had them on when I left the house and everything was still perfectly bright out. And so my mind is just adjusted to the extra dimness.
Yeah.
But apparently had I not done that, I would have been running into people.
Oh.
Thankfully never quite ran over a kid. That's good.
Good.
But the, you know, the UFOs were great. You could see the kids from a block away. so that all went over very well. But really the story is just the ungodly amount of candy that got pulled into our house.
Yeah.
Cause Barrett's old enough that it's three kids doing full hauls of candy.
Mm-hmm.
And daddy has no self-control. Daddy has zero self-control.
Yeah, no, no.
It's craziness. It is tasty times, lots of Snickers. Twix continues to be a champion.
Mm-hmm.
Halloween was a good time had by all. I'll let you know fantastic. When the sugar crash wears off.
I mean, the that much candy should last more than a week. So let's check in next week.
Oh, I've got some bad news.
Oh, okay. I was very fastidious about Halloween candy. I would like portion it out and
Did you have candy from the previous Halloween when the next Halloween rolled around?
No.
Okay. I had candy from like five Halloweens before.
Yeah. I always like rotated to make sure like I wasn't like left all with something that sucks. Only with something that sucks at the end. So nice. Yeah. Moxie, how about you?
Had a pretty great time. I posted some pictures in the Slack of our Halloween. So there's a big party at Navy Yard, which is kind of one of the big entertainment districts here.
Uh-huh.
And it's real fun. With like three DJs, open bar, which makes everything more fun.
Mm-hmm.
The weird thing was it was in the like the water treatment building.
Okay.
Which is
open bar
a strange
now sounds suspicious.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like that straight up sounds like the setup for like a horror movie.
Yeah.
But it's a weird building because it's like this ultra modern, you know, glass facade type of building that is like half or like mostly just this ultra modern like office building type, you know, white collar thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then also has like random pump rooms and stuff.
Cool.
So it was a neat venue. It was a great party. They also had tons and tons of like animatronic Halloween like decorations and stuff, which
like
was kinda cool.
Like Home Depot shit?
I guess. I think maybe.
Okay.
But yeah, it was a really good time.
Excellent.
Good music and yeah, all that stuff.
Is that your Gideon costume, or is that
That is the face paint from it, and just kind of random gothy stuff. I unlike Dennis, did not want to wear sunglasses.
Right, the sunglasses are a thing in that. Yeah,
yeah. and also it was just kind of easier to do that.
Yeah,
so. I don't understand, like, why does Halloween have to be at the most awkward time of the year where it's like, oh, it could be blazing hot or freezing freaking cold?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Pick the time of year most likely to have freezing rain.
Oh, well, I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah, it was a really, really good time.
Ben, how about you?
Yeah, I think for Halloween, me and Mimi went to a cocktail bar nearby, and they had Lord of the Ring themed drinks, including a You Shall Not Pass espresso martini-ish drink, but it had like a egg, like creme brulee top that you had to like break through in order to get. I thought it was
okay. Cute. That's cute.
Yeah. And then in other news, Mimi went out of town for a vacation this week. So this is the first time I'm like home alone in the house for an extended period of time. So it's a big change of pace. It's much more video game centric, I guess.
Oh, so, cool.
Are you drinking enough water?
I think so.
That's the number one thing that goes when I'm out of my normal routine is just water. Get to the end of the day, and it's like, where did this headache come from? So
I have a coworker that has some sort of like couple hundred dollar smart water bottle that will like text him and remind him to drink water.
That's a little bit too. That's a little bit too fancy.
So yeah, I mean, it's a nice water bottle, but.
Is it like those pod beds if AWS goes out? Does like the top seal up?
I like that you say it's a nice water bottle, but you can set it to mean water bottle. And it's like, hey, drink more, fucker.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. There was something I was going to say. It ought to have been "You shall not pasteurize a white Russian with raw milk."
Ooh.
That way, everybody gets super sick. Yeah. Sorry, if it wanted to be a pun, I racked my brain on that, and that's all I can think of.
I was flailing for some kind of more on the nose pun as well, and you got there first. I think that's as close as we're gonna get.
I think so.
I am kind of proud though. I did actually have an image. Prepared for a mean water reminder.
Oh, that's a sticker.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I was going to say, where can I get this? Ale if you wanted a beer drink.
That's good.
Yeah.
They've got to name at least a couple drinks in Lord of the Rings, right? Even if it's just like a generic ale or mead or whatever.
There's different liqueurs that the hobbits like, something. Yeah. Yeah, the sticker says "Drink your water, bitch," and there's a cartoon holding forward.
Yeah, it's a Neko Arc.
Okay, I've seen that, but I don't recognize it by name.
I kind of want to get one of these for Jen.
Yeah, I didn't do much. I had a stomach bug over the weekend, so I mostly I wouldn't have gone and done anything social anyway. Just kind of laid around the house. So,
did you get any trick or treaters?
No. Oh, our nice. Our trick or treat was like in the middle of the week. It was like a weird time.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Hey,
so I guess
can I ask this? Have you guys seen the war on trunk or treats happening?
Oh no! But I am like completely in support of that.
I guess I didn't realize I've never seen a trunk or treat as a replacement for Halloween. Yeah. I've only ever seen them as like a plus plus for Halloween.
That is because you are not a Karen.
Yeah. So it may be, and that might be like suburbia privilege or something like that. But the algorithm has decided that I need to see all of the posts complaining that trunk or treats are ruining Halloween.
Oh, no, no, that's entirely, those posts are accurate. Trunk or treat is an abomination.
Okay. Huh. It is probably double the amount of candy in our house. So I can see it from that angle.
I would, you know, if it's trunk or treat or nothing, take trunk or treat. Mm-hmm. I guess that is my standpoint on it. Mm-hmm. So my only, like the only thing that found some ale-81 up here that doesn't happen. Nice. That doesn't happen very often. So.
So my big issue with trunk or treat is that, you know, it's like trick or treat. You know, you get to choose the trick or the treat, right? So with trunk or treat, why do I get in trouble where I just scoop up a kid into the trunk and, you know. Everyone okay, loses okay. their fucking minds.
I'm starting to understand the vehemence against it now. This is all coming together.
I think we should do our regular kind of show. What with the grind, the multiplayer, and the end boss? And why don't we get started with...
The Grind.
The Grind, where we talk about the games we have been playing over the last period of time or so. Who has something new?
I do. I've got a couple new things.
All right.
I've got one that is relatively new on the indie front. I've started playing a climbing game called Peak.
Oh yeah.
P-I-A-K.
Yeah, I've wanted to play that.
It's, you know, it's got kind of a derpy human fall flat-ish aesthetic to it. Mm-hmm. And the real cool thing about the setup is that there is a new mountain to climb every single day. So the, you know, whatever is available to climb is only there for 24 hours and then it's replaced by a new one. And broadly, you know, the biomes stay the same as you go up the mountain. But it is very much about kind of, you know, I don't know. This has always been a deep-seated mental thing of like staring at a hill and going, okay, if I had to go up that, I probably would start over there and that looks a little flatter. So I'd go there and, and then you go and do it. And so that is really nice to just have a constant stream of being able to stand at the bottom of this mountain and look up and imagine your route.
Yeah. I mean, it's a stranding game.
Yeah.
No, I mean, by which that is a glib way of me saying like that is the cool thing about Death Stranding to me.
Exactly is
like pathfinding, route finding, kind of stuff like that.
That's also like a big part of actual rock climbing and stuff. Is
sure.
It's the best part of hiking, right?
Yeah, it's like there is a deep-seated human desire to stand at the top of something you are at the bottom of.
Yeah.
I was going to say there's a deep-seated human desire to stand at the bottom of something, look, be like, yeah, that's the route I'd take, and then go home.
That's what I'm talking about.
Fair, yes. You are less likely to be in headlines for... dying in the wilderness. So that's good for you. It's, you know, it is focused on playing with friends. So your inventory is very small. You always start at a plane crash. So the idea is like you're traveling somewhere and the plane crashes and you got to climb up the mountain to light a signal flare.
Okay.
That's as much story as you're going to get. But so you start at the bottom and you can grab some supplies from around the plane. And then everything else you're kind of salvaging on your way up. You can have a backpack that can fit 4 items, and then you've got 3 items for your inventory. But every item also has a weight, and the more weight you have, the less stamina for climbing you've got. It is a very Shadow of the Colossus-esque climbing system where you're just holding one button to be like, grip. And then you move, and if that runs out, you're gonna, you know, you get one chance to lunge and then you're gonna fall.
Yeah.
And you know, your hunger can impact that, the weight of your items impacts that. And then obviously if you get injured, that impacts that. And there's several other effects. And so as you're going up the mountain, you need to be managing all those things. The big pressure is hunger, which means you're kind of taking these little side quests as you go up to grab a banana or what have you. With the joy of almost everything you can find to eat on the way up the mountain is going to have some additional unanticipated effect.
Okay.
Poisoning you, making you sleepy, all sorts of different stuff. And it's kind of, I'm right on the edge of that honeymoon period where it's fun to figure out what everything does that adds just a little extra element of chaos. So as you master that and you get familiar with the items, you get better and better at, consistently kind of doing a good run, doing a good climb. But like I said, when you have more people, that means you can kind of carry more stuff and have more answers for the challenges the game might throw at you. So ropes or pittons to rest while you're climbing, or you know, compasses that point out other resources, etc. All of those can come into play. And then also, if you are climbing as a duo, one person can stand at the top and kind of reach their hand down over to pull someone else the last, like, you know, a couple feet of the climb. That makes a big difference, because then you wind up saying, okay, one person is the mule and is going to carry all the heavy stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the other person is going to be the light one that climbs up and then can get the mule the rest of the way through.
Which one is John Lithgow hunting the others down in order to, I think, retrieve the briefcase of diamonds?
Whoever eats the thing that makes you catch on fire and then runs around and knocks everyone else off the cliff.
Okay.
All right. I would say. Yeah. So I think it's a four player lobbies that you can play, and I've only done it with one other, but it is a really good time. Mm-hmm. It's also the perfect game for just hanging out and chatting.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need a ton of strategic communication. So it's like just a good something to do with your hands while just you're hanging out.
A good yapping game.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So highly recommend Peak. It has in-game spatial audio. So, like, you know, if you're in a cave, that. It echoes. And,
it is such a cheap trick, right? Yes. Like, but it's so, you get so much mileage out of it. I love it.
Incredibly effective when you feel obligated to be like, ah, when you fall. Mm-hmm. Everyone else gets to listen to you.
What happens if you fall? Is it like a Left 4 Dead kind of thing where people just like, yeah, they go on and then they find your body stuff somewhere?
That is the worst case scenario. So there are very far spaced out checkpoints between biomes. And what you can do is resurrect someone instead of getting an item from this statue.
Okay.
So that is technically, if someone dies all the way, you can bring them back that way. The game is pretty generous with fall damage in terms of you're unlikely to just straight up kill yourself, even if you fall a long way. Mm-hmm. But that does knock you unconscious. And you know, the meter basically goes beyond the size of your stamina bar, and you can't do anything until, that is rectified. So if someone can get to you with like a bandage or something, you can heal them.
Right.
Or even like, you know, if your hunger is high enough that getting rid of your hunger will bring your stamina bar back under control, you can do that instead. Mm-hmm. And so you get, you know, anything to collapse the stamina bar, and it's kind of nice, the design to have all status effects contributing to the same bar.
Yes.
It creates some really interesting situations, like in when you're in the snow area, if you get caught out in the wind, you know, that jacks up cold. Mm-hmm. And that can get high enough to knock you out. But then once the wind stops, it starts going down and you get into this space where it's like, okay, I probably know that this jump to wherever is going to knock me unconscious because of the wind.
Uh-huh.
But I think if I can land on the ledge and just be on a flat surface,
just hold
the wind will stop. I'll kind of come back up on my own. The danger though, is that you drop everything that you're holding when you go unconscious, except for stuff in your backpack. And so if it's not a completely flat surface, that shit's rolling off the edge.
Yeah.
So, it just, loving this game, and specifically loving it with friends. It's like $8 full price, and it was just on sale for really cheap. So, keep your eye on that one and, have fun playing Peak.
Are you playing with randos or mostly friends?
No, just with friends.
Okay.
Buddy in the neighborhood is the one that turned me on to it. Hmm. And so we've done climbs together, which is always a good time.
Sweet. Yeah. No, it's good to hear more detail about it, because you see people talk about it, you see maybe some clips, and it's just like, to know that it is that mechanic. Because like, with something with this look, I worry that it's going to be mechanics light, you know? And mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just because it is not complex does not mean that there is not depth to it.
I only need a little bit. What were you going to say, Moxie?
First off, hopefully there is not depth. Hopefully there is height. second off, what is the anti-rope? the Steam page mentions an item called an anti-rope.
I did not know, so I completely wasted it the first time I tried to use it. It is a rope that instead of falling down, floats up, and then you can climb it Jack and the Beanstalk style.
Oh, okay. Oh,
okay, so it's like a Spelunky rope.
Can Spelunky ropes do that? Go up?
Yeah.
Ah, very cool. Yes, then absolutely yes. That's one where it's like, oh, this rope, anti-rope, what does that mean? I don't know. But I need to get up to that ledge, and you shoot the rope out, and it just goes, shoom, locks in exactly where you want it, and then goes the opposite direction.
Yay!
It's like, well, shit, that was the special item for this biome. So,
not gonna lie, though, I was kind of hoping, like, regular rope ties things together. I was hoping that would, like, force things apart so you could, like... Oh. I don't know, levitate your teammates up or whatever.
Oh, favorite other item is the scout cannon, which is a circus style human cannon.
Yes.
God, this sounds delightful.
So you only get one chance to place it. And so you have to pick like the angle and rotation and everything without getting to test it or adjust it if you're wrong. And then you got to decide who's the first person to climb it. It's like, you place it. You're the one. It's like, no, I did the hard work. You first, please.
who volunteers to be a buddy bomb?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I could even see that making an appearance on a Duckstream if other people try it and like it. But there's a wide range of games that we might try. Peak is up there for derping around with friends, though.
Excellent.
Peak is peak.
You know, I spent the entire time trying not to make that joke, but yes, indeed.
That's a good button to put on it.
Yeah, luckily I do not have any inhibitions.
So. Yeah. So then I'm going to go from like cute indie darling to corporate bullshit game, unfortunately. But I reinstalled Battlefield 6.
Okay.
Because this week they added a free to play mode. One is a battle royale, which of course, and I have no interest in that. But the other mode that they added is called Gauntlet, which is like a, I don't know, BR adjacent type of mode. That's actually worked out kind of well. First off, it seems like any AAA game now just has the most toxic community imaginable.
Did you just like just airdrop in and it was just all oops all inwards?
Just nothing like that, but just everyone furious that they paid for Battlefield 6 and got like 12 days before free to play mode came out.
Okay.
And they, you know, these suckers paid $80 for the you know, the multiplayer modes that now no one is touching because there's free to play stuff out that's more interesting.
Yeah.
So that huge bait and switch.
I mean, this is EA.
Yeah, like it's. I don't know what you guys expected. What Gauntlet is squads of four. Nothing crazy there, but it's your squad versus all the other squads. Starts out with, you know, however it is, 20, 32. I forget what number they're up to. But it is all objective based modes. And it is all modes that are the objectives are appropriate for the number of squads left.
Okay.
So like, you know, the first mode might be like, here's a map that has like 32 control points all over it. Just get points for holding as many as you can. It's just a complete scrum. And then, you know, a last mode where there's only two squads left might be like a really tense, like, search and destroy style mode or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything in between. So you get a huge variety of play, but the thing I like the best is you are scored as a squad.
Oh, and that's really good. Yeah.
Yeah. At the end of, you know, whatever round you're at, the bottom two or however many squads get dropped, just the bottom two, and everyone else advances on.
Mm-hmm.
And so that has just been so refreshing. Cause I tried the Battlefield 6 multiplayer however many weeks ago that was, and it was like, this isn't any fun because I don't feel like there's any point to being on a squad. Yeah. They are a spawn point, and then we're immediately running in different directions.
Is the basic mode still just command point advancing?
It is advancing through a map. And I think the problem is that since your squad is two large sides, ultimately there's no squad interaction, at least playing with randoms.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter. You're just part of this bigger scrum.
Do they not have the commander anymore?
What mode is that?
That was every mode.
Oh. Yeah,
squad leader or whatever.
So, like, commander, and this is shit. This is going back 20 years to Battlefield 2.
Back when Battlefield was worth playing.
but the commander role, there are everybody is broken up into squads, but the commander sets goals. So, like, the commander directs the squads.
If that is, I know someone gets tagged the squad leader.
Yeah.
But that role is so downplayed that I've never known if I was the squad leader or not.
Depending on the game, like, the commander was a big deal because, like, that was the only way you could do air support. And then
interesting.
Like, I think you, like, scored double points if you're doing what the commander told you to.
If it's in Battlefield 6. I was too dumb to see it, or it was deprioritized enough that I didn't notice it.
Yeah.
However, that doesn't matter in Gauntlet because you are in this with every other teammate.
Yeah.
And so people stick together incredibly well. People like play roles incredibly well. Not to the point of people actually using their mics, because we can't have that. We can't have nice things. But just feeling like you were playing with people that were actually paying attention to where their teammates were, made Battlefield click a lot more than it did just the regular mode. I don't think Battlefield 6 does anything hyper new and exciting. But this new mode, at least gets you playing with people in a way that feels really well aligned to what the game is designed to do.
That's good. Still be worried about chastising the weakest link on the team. You didn't experience any of that?
No. Well, it's interesting because you can see each individual score, but it tends to be so the scores come in big chunks when you take objectives. Mm-hmm. And so one person will have 30 points and everyone else will have 5, but you all kind of know that's because we completely wiped out an opposing squad, but only the person who got that final kill that made the squad unable to respawn.
Okay.
Got those points. So it is, you can see who's making or who's taking the big objective milestones. But after that, you really don't, get a ton of feedback on this person, did terribly, because you know that the majority of those points kind of belong to the team.
It's like, whose line is it anyway? The points don't matter.
they super matter. It's like, whose line anyway, in that they are assigned very capriciously. Mm-hmm. to an individual. Whereas, it's still clear that the team should get those points. I don't know why they don't divide them evenly between people or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe to obfuscate some of that, who got zero, but
yeah, change the incentives a bit.
Yeah. The other elegant thing, just because, you always have trouble in these modes with someone drops, right? Like, you're a squad of four, you lose 25% of your ability to win if someone drops out. At the end of a round, if someone dropped on a squad, they will just add a person from a squad that got eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
And so that person gets to keep on playing even though they got knocked out, and you get your squad at full strength.
That's good.
I kind of wish they would make a mode where they would, though, as teams get knocked out, bring in other teams, that sort of thing. Because, the one downside I'd see of this is, my desire to play the game would decrease as the game advances.
Oh, interesting. Well, how do you figure? Because, it's only the bottom two-ish that get dropped every time. And so even if you're on the bottom, there's always that, we can scrap our way up to third from last.
Oh, I mean then, more you eventually get to like 4-on-4, at which point like yeah, why it's, play?
It's the I mean it's still the battle royale problem where the stakes go higher and higher.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, the objectives tend to be tailored to the number of squads left. And so the kinds of things you're doing when it's 4-on-4 or you know, just three squads of four against each other, create tense situations or keep the action flowing versus being like a conquest mode with not enough people for that to be fun.
I guess what I'm thinking, though, is just once it gets to like doing a, like a seek and destroy or something like that. It's like, if I wanted that, wouldn't I just play Call of Duty?
Yeah.
Okay. I follow. Yeah, maybe, but it is a fairly cohesive process. They paint it as like, hey, you're moving through the map and moving to different areas. And it's like, okay, you finish that. Now you got to do this. So they tie it together. That's cool, at least. Yeah. So if you're going to play Battlefield, I would recommend doing Gauntlet. I can't speak to RedSec, although, again, the community consensus seems to be it is the worst thing to ever happen to gaming. Because that is the only appropriate reaction to anything these days.
Yeah. The only available reaction. Yeah.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Gauntlet mode sounds neat.
Yeah. And that's what I've been playing in terms of, like I said, one indie darling, one big AAA game.
Hey, scales are balanced.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who else? Ben, last time you left off with something.
Yeah.
Held out on us.
I have one new game. I've been playing it for like the last month or so. It's called Expeditions Rome.
Okay.
This one I found kind of from an obscure YouTube channel that does like game rankings over the years, but it's made by THQ, is the people who put it up, THQ Nordic specifically. So I believe it's a Swedish company, but not positive on that. This is basically Rome skinned XCOM. I'll describe the game mode to you and then kind of give you my taste of it, I guess. But essentially you're playing like a Roman general who has a legion of soldiers. You're kind of working your way up the ranks. And the game's kind of split into three different modes. There's like the XCOM mode, which is where you have like six soldiers. You're in a arena that's like a hex grid. And you are fighting other people, depending upon where you are in the country or in the world. And then... yeah, and it plays very much like XCOM. The only difference is like the classes are different, and it's more about Roman soldiers. So there's like person with a shield, bow and arrow person, person with like a staff that has like more range to the attack, and then a basic person with like a sword,
a sniper.
There's like an upgrade system with all these people. You have like a squad, just like XCOM. Some of the people can permanently die. You kind of have they attempt to do more of like a narrative in this. So like there are some companions where if they die, you have to restart the mission and so that they don't die. But you have others that are more expendable that can permadeath, and you have to just hire a new soldier to replace them.
Yeah. Kind of disappointed. I thought you were going to say some of the soldiers were just like canonically immortal. It's like, oh yeah, that's Hercules.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and so there's a lot of like these kind of scrappy encounters that you have, but what happens in between those is you have this kind of meta map where it's like a world map that you can travel around in. And a main component of the game is that you're doing like area control, similar to like Grand Theft Auto, like gang fights or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so like there's different sectors. You start out, there's different acts to the game. So in Act 1, you start out in Greece, and the map split up into like 12 different sectors, and you control one of them, and then Greek people control the rest of it. And so you're going on a conquest like city to city on this world map to try and take over more sectors. But while you're doing that, there's like points of interest that you can go to like uncover the fog of war, gain experience, get resources. You have like food and like water resources for your troops that you kind of have to manage a little bit, even though it's not, you don't have to engage with them too much because you don't have to check those too often. Right. But largely what you're doing is just marching region to region and trying to take over control of more areas. And the way you do that is you have a legion that you can send around as well. So you're managing kind of two things on the map, your own characters, and then this like army of people. And so the army is like a couple thousand people, whereas you are like six people. So that kind of dictates like who you can engage with. Like you as your six people can't take over a city, but your legion can. So if you want to send them there, you can like sack a city.
Okay.
And then this brings us to like the third mode of the game, which is giant like legion fights, which is this like own little abstract type game where you'll do this large scale battle over the course of four rounds. And there's four different meters that you're kind of controlling like a tug of war with by what moves you're picking in war. Mm-hmm. So it's like catapults, for example, is one of the categories where if you pump that high enough, then you can get the enemy to scatter or have like suffer significant loss. Whereas like there's like horses, for example, where if the enemy gets that meter high enough, they might threaten like your commanders. Yes.
I regret to inform you, sir, the enemy is horse maxing.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. So for us, for anybody who's not us, Ben just immediately sat down to write that down. while you're composing your thoughts, this sounds rad. So like, I was like, well, what in the world? So like, what is this? Because like there are like little offsets of like the Total War series,
yeah,
that are like kind of bite sized. I think there's one that was like Egypt or something like that. Maybe it was Rome. So I was like, okay, might be this. This is a whole ass series. This team did Expeditions Conquistador, and then Viking. So this is rad, like the like going from like literally just strategic, like okay, what are our priorities, down to like I imagine like the six person battles are like decapitation strikes, right?
Yeah, it's you're definitely, yeah, they have the individual battles where it's like six people on however many people the enemies are. Definitely has an XCOM feel where typically you're outnumbered. So like the first few rounds, they're taking a lot more actions against you than you are of them. Mm-hmm. But in the course of like two or three rounds, you can kind of change the tides of it. Like one of the moves that the shielded unit can do is like knock somebody over. So that kind of takes them out for a round or two so that they're no longer attacking you. So it has that sort of feeling where it's like you're starting on your back foot, but you slowly gain your footing and you're able to like take control of the situation. So like that is a good feeling. There's a lot of good like upgrade mechanics. So the large scale battles that I was talking about, you hire and send like generals in those battles. You can have up to like four generals. And mm-hmm. when you're hiring people, they basically have a capacity of like three of those meters that I was talking about. So as they gain experience, they'll unlock that at the start of battle, where it's like you basically gain whatever those symbols are at the beginning of battle. So you kind of start off with an advantage the more experience they get. And yeah, so there's a lot of good mechanics to the game. I think the one last thing, one last component to it is wherever your legion is, you typically have them garrison a city on the world. That's kind of where your home base is. And so if you go there, you have like, this is like the equivalent of like the base in XCOM. You have all these like buildings that do different things that reinforce all the other mechanics that we've talked about. So like, the people you hire have dispositions towards you and like how willing, how much they trust you and stuff like that. So you can buy like a spa so that to increase their disposition. There's consumable items just like in XCOM where it's like torches and like pikes that you can throw. So there's a building that replenishes those if you assign somebody to work there. There's a building to recruit new like people so that your army's at maximum capacity. And so this like home base is kind of another place where you have this like large scale meta progression to kind of improve everything else. Mm-hmm. So the game's broken up into four acts, and then each act is in a different part of the world. Presumably I'm at the end of act two. So despite all the mechanics being cool, the one main criticism I have of the game is that it is starting to feel pretty long, and I'm only halfway through the game. So it starts, there are a little bit of like pacing issues with it, I would say. Mm-hmm. because I think I've probably put like 30 to 40 hours in so far for those two acts.
Only
and
halfway
again,
through.
I'm just staring
oh
down.
Oh my God.
Yeah, like another of that to go. So I think that's one thing that they could have probably ironed out a little bit better. On top of that, like the main progression, like the buildings that you unlock. I guess I forgot to mention this. Is like once you capture a region, you can gain resources in that region. There's things like lumber and like mines, stuff like that. And those are basically a resource that you use to upgrade your camp. And so that's how you unlock these new buildings or upgrade these buildings that do all the other things. So one kind of negative is you see the entire upgrade tree at the beginning. But it's just like a slog, like getting through it. And it takes like almost like too long to get through to anywhere meaningful for that. So might have been better to like slow roll that so that you don't have like that entire map from the get go. Because it takes, you know, on tens of hours before you can actually get anywhere meaningful. Yeah, so that's kind of like the faint criticism of it. Like that said, it's still fun, like jumping into a region, doing the 6-on-6. Similar to XCOM, there are sometimes you get into a situation where it might be a tough battle and you played it for like 20 or 30 minutes and then you lost and you have to restart that battle. Like it doesn't happen so frequently that it feels that bad. And if you like save scum or something, you might be able to not like hard reset all of it. But there are a couple of times where it's like, yeah, I've had to play something two or at most like three times through to see it to victory. Yeah. And I think the last thing game mechanic wise is at the end of like each act that you're in, there's typically a large scale kind of multi-stage battle that you have to fight where, and it's kind of like the final exam, like the type thing where you'll assign like all 12 of your, I think they call them centauries or whatever, the people that you have. And it's like different parts of a battle where it's like, hey, through this mission, we found there's a secret back entrance into the city, but they have bridges where they're going to send their reinforcements. So we need to take those out. And then we need to protect our catapults here. So you need to assign different people to different places depending upon what their skill set is. But you're kind of going in blind. You don't know what kind of enemies are going to be at each of the locations. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have to make these like kind of small, well-balanced individual teams to do that. Yeah, so anyway, this is a large game. I think it retails for something like $40-$45 normally on Steam, but if you wait for a sale, it goes down to like $10 or $15. And so I think it's worth it at that price. But just know that it's a pretty large game. So
it's
like
a commitment.
It'll take you a while to get through. And the production value, it's like good. It's good enough for me, but it's not like a AAA game in a sense. It's a lot of like dialogues where it's like a flat picture of two people talking and it's voice dialogue going back and forth, but like there's not, you know, it's not like a 3D cutscene or something like that, or
that's strategy games, baby.
So yeah, this was like kind of a pleasant surprise because I don't think I had heard about this through hardly anything else, but but yeah, if you're looking for that sort of like XCOM itch and have run out of games to play, this definitely could satisfy it for you. So yeah.
Yeah.
You can never run out of games to scratch the XCOM itch because you can always play XCOM.
Yeah. They do call it the Forever War. So built in.
That's the Long War.
Oh yeah. Excuse me.
Yeah. Forever War is what we live in. Yeah. Yeah. I had no idea about this. I'll be honest, like there's a certain kind of like cover art and like style, and like just when I see a game just in a storefront, I'm like, that's a first person multiplayer melee medieval combat thing. You're not gonna fool me.
Yeah.
So I never gave this a second look.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Antibodies kicked in.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where the marketing was for this game, because it does seem like a larger production game and seems like more eyes should have been on it.
I think it's THQ.
Going back to the panel you did at PRGE, this does seem like a really good 7 out of 10 game. So yeah. Something that like makes sense. That.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Expeditions Rome sounds neat. I don't know that I have any questions about it. It just like I don't know, all encompassing.
Yeah.
And this is the second week you've brought us a game about the Roman Empire.
Yeah, I know. I'm so really
you must be thinking about it quite often.
Fulfilling that stereotype, I guess. but yeah, that's all I got. That's been the big one. So
cool. Want to say that it looks like the race is being called for Mamdani in New York.
Fuck yeah.
Like 5 minutes after the polls closed.
The polls ahead of time had him winning by double digits. So
yeah.
I mean, we've seen him be wrong. We haven't seen him be that wrong.
Yeah. There might be some shit, but like right now that's what it's looking like. People on Blue Sky are fucking living out. It's great.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Moxie, how about you?
So I've been continuing on with the expedition for No Man's Sky.
Okay, continue.
Yeah. Man, I'm trying to think. It's again, it's such a kind of, you know, moment by moment exploration thing that it can be hard to you know what to talk about. They have added a couple of boss fights, which is interesting.
I don't remember it having combat at all when I played it.
Oh, yeah. It's always had at least basic content where some of the animals are predatory, although that's pretty uncommon. But then there's these little robot drones called Sentinels. Okay. And in general, if they're patrolling around and they see you, like, harvest something or dig into the train or basically destroy anything, they'll start attacking you in, like, escalating waves. And then on certain planets, they're just straight up always aggressive. But they've now added... one of them is basically sandworms. So just, you know, giant Dune-style sandworms that you can fight. And then there's one that's like a giant beetle that like spawns like smaller beetles to come after you.
Mm-hmm.
It a little bit has the No Man's Sky thing where... the breadth of options is much more interesting than any given option. So, like, these boss fights are fairly simple. You know, kind of keep moving to avoid getting hit and, you know, try to out DPS them, that sort of thing. But, you know, it's still a thing where, like, that's one more thing that you can randomly stumble upon when you're exploring a planet.
Mm-hmm.
Which is definitely, definitely additive. There's also just some minor things you can now, for a while you've been able to, dig up, like old, like dinosaur bones and stuff, fossils, I guess, and, sell them. But you can now, put them together into skeletons. So like, you know, a head, you know, legs, arms, a body, and a tail. And I haven't completed a skeleton yet. I'm still short a at least a tail, maybe also a head on the one I'm working on. Okay. But I think you can then like actually, you know, put it up in your base and, you know, it'll, you know, depending on what collection parts you use, it will look different, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool. Other than that, my next big adventure is I have to spacewalk through a black hole.
That sounds rad.
No. Yeah. I am interested to see how it works. I don't know how I get my ship back after that.
Okay. So... I mean, what happens normally when you go through a black hole in this game?
Normally, it it jumps you to a new solar system that's you know, far away, like in the neighborhood of, say, like 1,000 light years away. Mm-hmm. And I believe it always will take you closer to the galactic core, towards the center of the universe.
Okay.
So in the base game, I guess it's just kind of a way to more quickly get to the center of the universe. In this mode, since you're just kind of following the expedition, I actually have no idea what it'll accomplish.
Right. It's a leap of faith.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So yeah, other than that, the Corvette building continues to be very cool.
This is you building your own like Enterprise, right? Like you're building a flagship.
Yes, it's very much very similar to Starfield? Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, very similar to that.
I think
that.
You mean it's like the gummy from Kingdom Hearts?
Yes, also like the gummy ships from Kingdom Hearts, except only in the Japanese version, because they took out the actual ship missions in the US version for some reason.
Oh, man.
I don't know why I know that. But yeah, my favorite thing is you can put in just like huge kind of picture windows along the side of your ship, and it, you know, you're seeing in real time, you know, what's outside your ship, which in general is just really pretty. And then when you actually are like, you know, land, it's just cool seeing like the various animals walking around and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's all I really have that's particularly interesting on that. I did have one other that I can kind of tag team with Dennis, we've been doing some pen and paper, been doing some, okay, there's too many stars in this. Is this Starbound, Starfield, Starfinder? That's right. Yes.
Just point broadly up and go, there they are, and then you're done for the night.
Yeah, yeah. That's pretty much how it goes. Yeah, so we've got a 3-person party. We've got what is it called? Like a star adept or something?
Which one are we thinking of?
With the ability to
A Solarian.
Yes. Yeah. So, yes. You know, a character has the ability to like manifest like sun weapons and stuff, like swords and shit. We have I don't know what's his name? Chiltruck's actual class is.
A mystic, I believe. However, the name is pronounced. Ch-ch-ch.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Just a fun sci-fi thing.
Yeah. You know, it's actually written just as reloading noise.
Yeah.
But
it's
so
like,
yeah,
like
so
an
we
insectoid,
have
a giant axe wielding paladin kind of character.
Okay, it's a paladin, because I was going to say with Mystic, I would expect spellcaster, but I don't think he's casted a single spell.
No, just the spell is I rev up my Gears of War style axe blade to wreck shop.
I mean, that's really what other spell do you need? And then I'm playing as a operative, which is kind of like a hybrid fighter rogue, sort of.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's interesting seeing how they adapt Pathfinder. These are all such dumb names. Pathfinder to a sci-fi setting.
Yeah, it works surprisingly well.
Overall
the blasting that's done.
Yeah. Overall, it is incredibly queer setting. There is at least one race that is canonically primarily non-binary, and another one where the majority of the race is asexual.
Okay.
I think there's one with a third gender.
Yeah. Yep.
As well. Yeah.
And then
lots of fun stuff.
Yeah, there's also one that's kind of an interesting concept I've not seen before. One of the races, it's like 75% of the race is blind. Like only 25% of the race is sighted, which is just kind of an interesting like kind of plot point. I think that's it's the dog race actually, dog people. Most of the race just like navigates via scent. But it's a lot of fun. Turns out Dungeons and Dragons is even better when you have laser guns.
I think my favorite moment was Luke. In case it wasn't clear, it was this. We got to play this on vacation with Luke and Milo, and then Moxie. Mm-hmm. Luke trying to jump up to a catwalk that was above them, spending his whole round like scrabbling for it and not quite being able to make it. Mm-hmm. And then Moxie's character just using her laser guns to laser down the catwalk.
Okay.
Like, I guess if you can't beat them, make them join you.
Yeah, to be fair, there was an enemy on the catwalk.
Yes, you're trying.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to help. So here's my, let's say, lack of knowledge about the current state of Pathfinder or Starfinder. Is that are you doing like grid-based combat kind of stuff in that, or is it just real kind of like loose? Like, how tactical does it get?
Yeah, grid. So on a grid.
Okay.
Generally.
Yeah, which is weird for me because like I'm very much used to playing Theater of Mind.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like me some crunch.
Yeah. I just all that I've ever really done is the grid based stuff. Moxie, that was in high school. So
yeah. Yep.
it can be fairly flexible if you're willing to just kind of fudge things a little bit. So
yeah, obviously
I think we ride that.
The right thing to do is just whatever's like circumstantially appropriate.
Yeah, whatever's fun and makes sense.
Yeah.
We were playing Starfinder Second Edition. Basically, they made Pathfinder and then they made Starfinder, but they like did all these things to make Starfinder very different than Pathfinder.
Okay.
Which widely I think the view is that like the first Starfinder was bad.
Okay. Just to bring it more in line.
Yeah. So then they did Pathfinder Second Edition, which is a pretty good, in a pretty good place. And they just put out Starfinder Second Edition, which is what we were playing. That is basically like, sorry about that first Starfinder. Now it's just Pathfinder with sci-fi themes.
Okay. That's probably for the best.
We fixed it.
Yeah.
So it's definitely for the best.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice. So No Man's Sky and Starfinder, really space themed.
Yeah.
Or space and Rome.
Mm-hmm. Space is the place.
Yeah. I have one, and this is going to be pretty short because I was laying around all weekend, didn't really get to play much of anything. But I had been getting ahead on stuff for Watch Out for Fireballs, and the episode that comes out next week is about unpacking. Wonderful game.
Yeah.
I love that game so goddamn much. I still had a little bit of that kind of like nesting itch kind of deal. So I picked up a game that I'd grabbed on a sale a while ago called The Tenants. Tenants, okay. like apartment tenants. It is a game much like Carrion, where you play as a parasite. You are a landlord. You are, that was a time delay one. We call that a way homer.
It's, unfortunately, it's not far enough off the truth to,
to register as a joke. This looks an awful lot like The Sims, except you're not really directly controlling any of the individual people. What this is more similar to is like House Flipper, if it was like one level of abstraction up. So you're not like controlling a first person kind of avatar going in and, you know, cleaning stuff up and, you know, manually painting things. This is like if House Flipper was done in like The Sims, you know, building and decorating engine kind of deal.
Okay.
And also had like a management sim element where you are trying to balance doing like renovation jobs for like people who just put in like, hey, I need this bathroom built, versus you're doing that to gain money to like buy properties and then set them up for people to rent them and just making sure you have enough cash to expand your empire. Bunch of stuff like that. This is mostly, I've just engaged with like the decorating, like the design and decorating kind of stuff, because I'm still relatively early, not bought a lot of properties. But like when you're designing for a client, like it's kind of neat because like it's taking a bunch of different kind of like demands. So like the client has, you know, things that they want in this, you know, particular room. They also have like a style that they like and a style they don't like. And then there are like adjacency bonuses. So like in a bathroom, like you have your sink and you have your toilet. You don't want like, you know, if they have like a toothbrush holder, the toothbrush should be too close to the toilet. Right. Mm-hmm. But it all needs to be in, you know, near water lines and stuff like that. So you have like all of these constraints that you're trying to deal with. I'm led to believe this is kind of similar to like some stuff like later on in Animal Crossing and stuff, but you don't have to talk to anybody. So that's good. And then you put it if you're designing the property to list, you put it up and then somebody comes in and then you have to try and keep them happy. So there's like repairs, renovations, updates. They also can just kind of like, you know, be really shitty or unsatisfied, get a lot of police calls. And then there's of like sabotages you can do to like get them to move out. Again, for as cozy as this looks, it is ethically dubious. In the tutorial, you do hire like a person called the trumpet man, just a person in a marching band outfit with a trumpet to come in and play music until the person gets unhappy and leaves. And there are other ones. Like there's a whole bunch of stuff like build up. You have like a skill tree and you unlock items to do, you know, to do things with. So for me,
I wanted to call out that the trailer of this on Steam cold opens with a reference to Goodfellas of as far back as I remember, I always wanted to be a landlord.
Yeah.
The tone's kind of all over the map here.
Yeah. Yes. So I'm only like a few hours into it and like it is satisfying. God, this is like a really weird and dumb way to put it, but like if The Sims is like a regular city builder where, you know, you build a space and then you have to manage a life inside of it for the long term, this is taking what to me is the most fun part of The Sims, which is designing a space and filling it with all the doodads and doing like fantasy shopping and all of that. Just doing that over and over again. So like, it's like Against the Storm or something as a city builder where you're constantly starting over and doing the, you know, going from zero to this is stable kind of deal.
I love how many games have realized that, like, actually playing the game is often the least interesting part of gaming.
It's, I think it's a matter of identity, right? It's like, okay, yes, we've just decided to focus, right? And this is a small team. This developer, Ancient Forge, like this is the first big game that they've really done. And so like to make something that would go after The Sims as this big, you know, all-time you know, just encompasses everything about a life sim product. It's like, okay, let's scale back how much is actually being simulated here and focus on one particular deal. You know, you can effectively make this game in The Sims, you know, you just keep on starting new families or whatever. It's this just has like that extra like management sim kind of stuff on top of it where you're trying to, you know, design something that will be appealing on a budget that will draw in people who are going to give you enough money to spring forward to the next thing, right? Yeah. And it's cute. Like, has a really kind of a fun style to it. It's not like hyper realistic. Like, has like the people have kind of a low poly aesthetic to them a little bit. Things are kind of geometric. You know, it's a neat little game, and also like it's fucking like it's like four, yeah, it's like $4 right now. I didn't see that. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I think it's all said. They advertised that it had over 50 updates, I guess. And yeah, since it seems it's still in early access, though, right?
No. Okay. Yeah, it's out. They have an expansion too that adds like pets and stuff to it. So, I don't know. It's an interesting take on the house flipper kind of idea.
Wait, so can you chase people out by just repeatedly like gifting them cats, like just a basket of cats on their doorstep every day?
I don't know if you can gift animals. I've unlocked the ability to gift plants.
Can you make their apartment literally haunted?
I don't know if there's a Halloween update.
Can you kill the tenants?
Yeah, one of the people you can hire to sabotage is just straight up Agent 47. It's a weird crossover. There's a problem with the toilet.
Yeah. This is either start to a great porn video or a terrible end to my life.
I mean, it could fold back into a Sims game where it's like you just make a pool and put your tenants in it and take away the water, you know?
Yeah. This just has me. I need to look up what the name of this game is. It's on my wish list. There is something coming out that is very much in the like house flipper landlord kind of thing. Kind of lane. Repairs. Let me see here. Come on, repair, please. Budget. Sorry, it's like low budget repairs or something like that. I apologize for not having it on here. I need you guys to look at this. Low budget repairs is what it's called. And it literally is just like, what if there was an entire game of like a physics based house flipper where everything was a landlord special?
No.
look at the videos. It's just walking up to a wall, and you know, using an impact driver against it. It brings down all the tile and shit. Like that's not what you should be doing on that job, bud.
Yeah. And the response is to select a beer out of your quick menu and drink it.
Yeah, how are we getting this futon out of here? Well, it's out the window, obviously, and then the character flips it off. It's a very fun trailer. I am so looking forward to this. There is not a there is not a release window for it.
That's tiles on the wall, and they're just falling off as they're placing them.
So yeah, everything I'm doing is just tiding me over until I can play this masterpiece.
Oh no.
Sorry, this is just me reacting to a video, which is not good.
I think we're all watching the same thing right now.
Measuring for the window, just do it close enough. Sorry, I just like doing a slapstick house flipper is just such a good idea.
Oh my god! And then the window's the wrong side, so you put in some bricks to try to cover it, and the window just falls out.
I mean, I've lived in houses like that.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was gonna say, this is starting to hit close to home.
This is our Daniel's house.
Oh god,
college.
I don't know if I ever told you, I one time bought the wrong bed frame for the mattress that I had, where I bought a queen size frame for a full size mattress.
Oh,
and that was just my life from then on. <It's> like,
just have a little shelf. That's fine.
Like, I don't want to deal with this, like returning this.
Oh my gosh. You know what they say? Mattresses are like goldfish. They grow to fit the space. Yeah. You know what else they say? Mattresses double in weight every 6 months.
I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
That can't be true.
The way I load them up.
yeah, that's all that I had, the tenants.
You got to keep vamping because I'm only about halfway through this trailer. Yeah.
I used up all my good mattress material.
Yeah. Well, no, like J.D. Vance is in there somewhere, right? You can start...
That's a sabotage right there for the tenants.
Wait, did
get the couch pregnant? Gives birth to ottomans.
As a side note, have they called the mayoral election?
Yeah. Mom Donnie won.
Oh no, sorry, I meant Cincinnati.
Oh
yeah.
Have they?
Yeah, AFTAB won, so that's good.
Okay, cool.
He beat the incumbent's brother. Yeah, the incumbent one.
Okay, sweet. Yeah.
They've also called the New Jersey for the Democrats. So, yeah.
Yes.
So all we've got now is Prop 50.
Yeah.
When you're listening to this, I'm sure you've gotten all the articles on why this is bad for Democrats.
Yes. Yeah, this is a terrible blow.
I mean, establishment Democrats, yeah.
Well, yeah, very fair.
Oh, the one I'm predicting is... Granted, it's only 60% of the vote is cast, but right now, Mamdani is at 49.6%. And okay. All the think pieces going into it were like,
he doesn't have a mandate. It's not a majority.
Yep. We're like, oh, well, the real thing is, does he get at least 50%?
Yeah. The article, majority of New Yorkers do not want Mamdani.
Yeah.
God,
awesome.
There are all kinds of ways for those monsters to fail us. We need to end this segment.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and you answer it. Dennis, what is the question that you ask the nice people?
Yeah, so, you know, there's all kinds of fake brands and companies within video games that are often infinitely more amusing than their real life counterparts. So what are some of your favorites of those and why?
We're going to get started here. I'm pulling from the Slack. We have Gwillem, who takes mine. God damn it. saying Minmo. And they post a screenshot from Silent Hill 3 down in the subway.
What?
Minmo brand cat foods, a literal asset that was used in there. It's all Comic Sans. It's like a picture of one of the developer's cats growing strong and healthy. ... Minmo. Gwillem continues, anyone who talked about the Comic Sans Silent Hill Ranch sign in the HD collection could and should have been talking about the Comic Sans Minmo sign in the original Silent Hill 3. It is a magical cultural artifact, and I'm glad that it has gained a following over the years. In its time, I was mocked and shunned for thinking it was perfect, and I bet you could still find some contemporary forum posts where people griped about it, ruining the mood or being half-assed or out of place. Or some other nonsense. But instead, its reputation has grown strong and healthy because good art finds its audience. I love Minmo.
You cannot convince me that is a real cat in the picture.
Oh, it has to be a real cat. It has to be like it.
No.
This needs to be a developer's cat. A terrible photo taken of it. And this cat is fucking immortalized. This cat's going to live forever.
It looks like a god.
it's beautiful. I need like an actual like mock can of Minmo cat food. somebody needs to make that real for me. Let's see here. I need to go back. Ben, what does
the patches say?
Yes. What does Lucy say?
The patches says Borderlands Tor gets this mention for staying to its brand, and the brand is explosions.
Mm-hmm. You need to say it right. Explosions!
Oh. I mean, this is a dude who's blown up entire oceans, so.
is this the one where you throw the gun and it explodes?
Yeah, that's, yeah.
No.
No, that's not.
Yeah, TDR is the cheap ones, the cheap guns that you throw away instead of reloading. Mm. Torg is like all missile launchers. Mm.
Yeah, and their weapons are like industrial themed, right?
I don't know. Style wise, I just know literally everything they do explodes.
Oh yeah, totally.
Let's see, Moxie, what does what are some of Jala's favorite brands?
I'm sorry, I just skipped it. This is the day. Sorry, I cannot read today. Jala says Circus of Values.
Welcome to the Circus of Values. Gosh, fucking just the circular speaker in the middle of that clown's mouth.
Yep.
Yeah.
What else did Jala say?
And also, and you're going to have to explain this one, the mono machine from Dang and Rampa.
I believe that is like a vending machine, like where you buy upgrade stuff in Ultra Despair Girls. Yeah. Like a gacha. I don't know which Danganronpa game that's in. It might be. Oh, there's gacha in a few of them actually. Yeah, it might just be from Danganronpa 1, where you do like a gacha for the items to give on dates. It's been way too long since I played an actual Danganronpa game.
Man, now I've stuck in my head. Tell your friends about the Circus of Values.
That's it. Oh gosh, vile. Dennis, what does zombie say?
Zombie crap.
Doot. Jala post it.
Yes. There we, no, I was just on the wrong image.
Oh.
No, yeah. Okay. Zombie says joy from We Happy Few, and they share the picture of the joy pill item card. Where it says, if you took more of these, you wouldn't have all these problems, would you?
Oh, yeah. That's what like keeps you from seeing the world as it is. Yeah.
Not going to lie. I would buy a joy pill.
I mean, just to try it. Get a trip sitter, of course. I think some really fucked up things happen in that game. I can't think of joy pills without thinking of Lisa the Painful, that RPG. The drug that causes the mutations in that is called joy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Let's see. Chicken Riggies writes, at one point, there were definitely folks who worked for Shinra that weren't entirely terrible people. I've always imagined a Shinra that was truly committed to a good civil engineering program. And of course, lots of trains.
So many trains.
Yeah. I mean, isn't my understanding was the plot of, the whole plot was just that inexplicably the hippies happen to be right.
Yeah.
And like, there's no actual justification for Shinra's things being bad, except that, the planet for some reason has a soul.
Yeah. It's a fact of life on that planet. And Shinra wants monopoly on all of the energy to be maintained. They want to find the promised land and build like a giga city on top of it to make themselves into gods and stuff. Yeah. But the hippies are right in that. It's just a, yeah. let's see. Ben, what does Dixie Normus say?
Which name are you going to go with?
Yeah.
Dixie Normus says, another excuse to talk about Deep Rock Galactic. DRGs seem like a dreadful company to work for. The corporate rivalries are highly dangerous for the employees. There doesn't seem to be company benefits, and you have mission control in your ear. But at least you get to chill in the Abyss Bar. For Carl!
For Carl! For Carl! I mean, you know, the fact that when you find gold, you can ping it and all the dwarves go, we're rich, implies they have a great profit sharing program.
Well, yeah. Again, it's all about incentives. Let's see here. Moxie, we've got another. What's Callum say?
Callum says, Shinra. The integration of Shinra into the story and world building is awesome.
Yeah. Agreed. I probably should have bunched that with the previous Shinra one. it is funny how Shinra has like just a monopoly on every consumer product. Like they make the cars and stuff too. And I will read the last one here from Slack. Desiree says, either from playing and or watching Illbleed and Bluestinger, I've always wanted to see what a Hacy would taste like. I've not played enough of Nose. Illbleed, Hacy, is that like a Hershey bar? Does Hacy come in bottles? That might be I don't know. I don't know what it is. Can't tell you.
Poor marketing on their part.
I know, right? So that is the last of those. I read that. So Dennis, why don't we do yours?
Also, it looks like Hacy is a energy drink.
Okay, cool.
Aha, this is good. Mm-hmm. I mean, Torg is a special example, but all the weapon brands from Borderlands are fresh in my mind from 4. And just the fact that the major villain in 2, just works for one of the corporations,
mm-hmm.
is very funny. So, Hyperion and Torg and man, all of them are great.
Yeah. I wish I knew more other than to, other than what you've said. I can't one up.
Yeah.
Sorry.
TDR is like the Walmart brand. Mm-hmm. Vladov is Bullet Hoses RS.
Okay.
Bullet Hoses USSRS maybe?
Maybe? Something like that. Does Borderlands take place? Is that future our world or is that?
No, I don't think so. But it is very Soviet coded weapons.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say that's actually my pick is Vladov. One, they're some of my favorite weapons, but then two, like how awesome would it be if there was a major like multinational corporation just advocating for socialism?
Yeah. let's see. Ben, how about you?
I'm going to go with the Moon Man from Outer Worlds 1, where you get him to admit that he's very uncomfortable being in the suit that he's in, but the corporation's making him doing it. And then in the publicity for the Outer Worlds 2, they did either the most least or most aware thing of having a bunch of people dress in those suits to promote the game.
So. Oh,
what I don't That's get great. Is how did they then get that guy to make Nier Automata?
Which, oh.
Oh, yeah. No, that's... you delivered that very straight-faced. Yeah. So Moxie gave yours. Ben, you gave yours. So Minmo was going to be mine. Sorry. there are a bunch of like...
It's a pretty good one.
Like almost brands from Silent Hill. Like there's Texago. Like just there are a bunch of just very clear, like yeah, McBurger and Queen Burger are two warring chains in the town of Silent Hill. Gotta go with classic here with Umbrella's lesser known consumer products, that you see mostly in Resident Evil 3 because you spend more time in the city, like Safsprin and of course AquaCure. just AquaCure. I think that in the remake it was kind of made to be more clearly like a weight loss like substance. It's physical fitness recovery, so like a post-workout. But in the original one back in like 2000, it was completely unclear what AquaCure was. It just said escape to ecstasy.
Oh no.
Oh, it's no. Ecstasy.
Yeah. and then a nice little world building one from Control. When you're in the oldest house, you're not allowed to have anything that's iconic. you know?
Oh,
so
yeah.
Like all of the vending machines, they've got like the Repo Man, just generic, like just white bag with black letters, like chips or pop or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of sprayed all over the place there, like one of those Borderlands weapons, the Soviet ones that you said. I can't remember the name of it.
So like one of the products I always kind of liked and wanted to have explained what the heck it was first aid spray.
Oh, yeah.
Just like everyone seems too blasé about the fact that like this is a universe where there's just a magical aerosol cure-all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it will seal up your hound wounds.
Yep.
Yeah.
Also, I just because I have to be that person. The argument for whether or not Earth exists in Borderlands is never mentioned. However, the one of the brands does name all their guns after constellations that can be seen from Earth, and mm-hmm. also Handsome Jack apparently references Jesus.
Okay. That gets into weird stuff, right? Because
yeah,
like
huh.
In Demon's Souls, there's a character who mentions the Hippocratic Oath.
Oh no.
Canon
now
bitches.
We're on to like Star Wars, then I'll see you in hell.
Yeah. So yeah, thanks everybody for writing in. Thank you, Dennis, for posting. Mm-hmm. If you want to participate in this in the future, they're posted on Monday afternoons on the Level Podcast Blue Sky. That's the Level Podcast at bsky.social.
The end boss.
Now it is time for the end boss, where we talk about things that are going on in the world of video games around us. We got kind of a like odds and ends kind of news story stuff yeah. here. Ben, I'm going to have you lead with what's what are we getting? What's the next Simpsons game we're getting?
Yeah, I found this out in my Discord chat, is that the next Fortnite is Simpsons themed.
Uh-huh.
And then that just lets us talk about the people who play Fortnite know what the Simpsons is? What's the Venn diagram there?
They know what the Simpsons are because their weird aunts and uncles can't stop referencing it.
Yeah,
now that sounds like projection here.
Yeah, I'm just telling it like I lives it. I think so. Like, there's Family Guy. Family Guy's been running forever. There's Family Guy in there. And stuff looks neat. I don't know. There's whatever, more Simpsons stuff. It's not going to make me like or want to play Fortnite. But
yeah, I was going to say, I guess the alternative is maybe Fortnite's ran through so many themes at this point that this is like what they're reaching for now. But
maybe. I don't know. There's probably going to be good stuff. There's probably like, oh, you can just do the evil Homer dance.
Monorail, other things like travel that. System.
Yes.
I feel like how much do you want this to be a downer?
I know the downer waiting in the wings. But yeah. I mean, so are you talking about the next one up is Harry Potter?
Yep.
Yep.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Yeah. I don't know what it means. Okay, I guess in that context. The article that you posted says, Fortnite fans say The Simpsons is the sweatiest season ever.
I didn't even read the article. I didn't.
So, yeah.
as I understand it, I'm assuming, sweaty seems like it's the common, like...
It reeks of effort, man.
Yeah.
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 Yes. Okay. I don't know. Whatever. Good on them. Just... continue to exploit beloved properties. Remind us that there hasn't been a proper Simpsons game in a very long time.
Mm.
Oh well.
I mean, the arcade one was pretty sweet.
I mean, that was that was made almost 40 years ago.
Did we talk about the Futurama hit and run skin here? Was that here or was that in my mind in between episodes?
I don't think so.
The Futurama hit and run, what is what?
All right. So this will be my story because I actually know about it. Somebody's remaking The Simpsons hit and run, but they're making it in Futurama. And they got their blessing from like the game designer of The Simpsons hit and run where like, yeah, this looks awesome. There's a trailer out for it. I'll link it in the backstage. But yeah. Looks cool. Looks cool. Cool. Yeah. Cool passion project.
Neat.
We'll see who gets sued.
Yeah, I think I believe that one of the former developers on this 20-year-old game does have final say over what this still active property can be used with. Yeah. Huh. Speaking of crossovers, Moxie, what is coming to Minecraft?
So Dragon Ball Z is inexplicably coming to Minecraft. They're releasing skins for most of the characters, and apparently kind of the plot line is that you participate in the World Martial Arts Tournament, and there's apparently some sort of like actual fighting game they're adding.
I don't care for that.
Yeah, it's weird. I think the number one thing I want to see is one of the characters you can play as is Bulma, and I really want to see like how she goes up in a fight versus like Goku.
I mean, Bulma would be good for like the actual exploration and crafting stuff.
Oh yeah,
you're probably working at a bunch of Capsule Corp.
Yeah, if things. You could get like Capsule Corp vehicles, that would be sick.
Yeah. I don't need the fighting. I just want the characters.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't know. This seems Dragon Ball seems orthogonal to the purpose and appeal of Minecraft to me.
I can see some things like again, like some of these things are very sometimes food. Mm-hmm. I bet it would be a lot of fun to like try mining with Kamehameha's.
Yes. That is the kind of thing that you would have to use a mod previously to do. Oh man. Just way back in the day, there was a really good Minecraft mod that I believe is defunct. It has to be called Mistcraft. And like they modded in like a glyph language to like define world books, and then you would warp to whatever kind of world you define for the resources and stuff. It ruled. And now I'm sad that you probably can't play that anymore.
Probably.
Yeah. Oh well. Let's see. Dennis, what have they got Doom running on?
Yeah, there's always something new. You know, Doom ostensibly takes place, at least the first one, on Mars. And now the game is closer to Mars than it's ever been. Okay. They got Doom running on a satellite.
Okay.
Which is interesting because, like, ostensibly there's no screen for it to run on.
Well, I mean, you have to use a you have to use a telescope.
Yeah. So basically, yeah, they got it running and just like, hey, it's on this computer and works. And that was, but then they got into like actually, you know, getting it so it would beam back onto a screen. And the very cool thing they did is modded it, so that the skyboxes now take photos of what the satellite is actually currently up to. So you get like cool custom backdrops while you're playing Doom.
Oh, huh.
That's pretty sick.
This is, I mean, it feels like running Doom has become the hello world of game dev. Mm-hmm. And it's just fun to see it moving ever outward in its sphere of influence now into the heavenly spheres.
God bless Foon. They are a poster previously like on Twitter, now I'm Blue Sky, general tech person. They are the one who came up with, I think it's deathgenerator.com.
Oh,
which is
type that in.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Taking it so you can just like write messages into video game screens. So like, this is how you get, I don't know, what a terrible night for there to be a curse, but with something funnier than I can come up with right off the top of my head. Yeah.
Sure.
But like the other thing that they do is they do a shitload of just like, can I get Doom to run on this? I think they managed to use a display on a fancy pregnancy test to display Doom.
Yep.
Not run mm-hmm. Doom. But like, I believe this is this is that person. They were joking around. Somebody said, like, you lit up a modern website, and like the memory load on it is, you know, two gigabytes in RAM. And it's like, okay, I could read one Forbes article, or I could run 500 copies of Doom at once. Yep. And Foon joked, well, it would be fun to make an ad block that just replaced every ad with an instance running Doom. So keep an eye out. Oh,
that's great.
That is the kind of thing that starts as a joke.
Instead of the dead internet theory, we're going to get the Doom internet theory.
Exactly.
Oh, that's fantastic. I also is that the guy who got it running on an adult toy?
I don't know if they did. I can't recall.
I know someone has done it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was specifically them.
Is that above and distinct from, like, there is a whole API for I mean, just going to say the word, vibrating butt plugs that like connect to games chess.com. And use that as a, but yeah.
Notably, is completely supported by what's that?
Ultrakill. Ultrakill
Wild. Yeah.
So were they running Doom on the actual like device itself, or was it integrated? So every time you fired a shot, it would.
No, it was running on the device itself, like the display of the device.
Okay.
For whatever it was being used for. I will whip open an incognito window and find it.
One cool one I saw, setting aside all the problems with this technology, is a AI running Doom, where it was just making it up as it goes.
Yeah.
And it was just interesting to see it like, oh, it like actually was able to learn like when bullet fires make ammo count go down.
Yeah, yeah. But it's not able to discern if you walk up to a wall and it turns blank to turn around and go back to the same room that you were in. Yeah. So I've got my story here, and this is just kind of like a heads up. I stream a lot of horror games. Do it on the weekend on the Duckfeed Twitch channel, twitch.tv/DuckfeedTV. There is a Humble Bundle out. It's called the Indie Fears Bundle, which like if you just do the basic, it's like $13. You get a bunch of horror games. I believe I'm looking at 13 of them. And a bunch of them are ones that I played, that I've streamed, and also they're good. So this is literally just me straight up advertising this as like a great way to get some cool shit that I can like vouch for. So like this has Mouthwashing, Buckshot Roulette, Arctic Eggs, Threshold, has Kiosk. I didn't care for that one so much. It has Terror at Oakheart, which is a really interesting one, and a bunch of others, including stuff that I've like, that has been on my list to stream for a while, like Who's Lala or Adios. So yeah, just Humble Bundle. If you want to get a shitload of really good indie horror games, this is a way to do it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Confirming it has happened that Doom has been run on an adult toy. It was done by Aaron Christoffel.
Okay.
Which, unless that is the real name of the pseudonym you were mentioning earlier, I think it's
no. Yeah.
Yeah.
I posted a link apropos of more Doom, because I want to talk about more Doom. I posted a speech from 3 years ago called Non-Euclidean Doom, where they show what happens when you change the value of pi in Doom. And they just walk through, does it build? Does it run? What happens? What if pi is zero? It's pretty great. It's like seeing a mind slowly like deteriorate into nothingness. Yeah.
Do they try the Kansas edition where pi is 3? Or am I that way in Oklahoma? Where do they make pi 3?
I would believe Kansas
pi.
In my mouth.
Could be in Indiana though.
Yeah, it is one of those. That is very funny. How does everybody feel about buttoning it up?
Let's button this.
The credit.
Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to level number 563. I want to remind you to save the date, December the 12th through the 14th, for Duckstream. Just follow the Twitch channel that I mentioned, twitch.tv/duckfeedtv, and watch all of our usual socials for more details about what's coming up on that. If you want to support the show, you can subscribe, leave a rating or review, leave a comment if there's commenting instead of that other stuff. Tell your friends, and most of all, come back next week. Is there anything that I'm forgetting?
Believe not.
Okay. I need to close Death Generator because I will be playing with that all night. They added a lot more screens to that. Okay. Well, I've been K. Ross. You can follow me on Blue Sky at K.Zone.
I've been Dennis Furia. You can find me on Blue Sky at Furia Games.
I'm Moxie.
And I've been Ben Merkel.
And stick around for some titles. Okay, I have two. I have, hopefully there's not depth. I can just copy and paste over this. Yes. The other one I have is, I regret to inform you the enemy is horse maxing.
Yep. Is
that, I don't know why we write down anything else.
Yeah. who else has that?
I had horse maxing.
I did as well.
Okay. Yeah,
I wrote it just as horse maxing, but I could also see it as the enemy is horse maxing. And I could also see it as, I regret to inform you, the enemy is horse maxing.
I'm going to see how much I can reasonably fit onto the cover art. Usually So we have the lots of different
function.
It's like that journal says, you know, we have met the enemy and they are horse maxing.
Let's see who has something else.
Nope, that was mine.
Oh, okay. Moxie, nothing?
No.
Okay, we're horse maxing. It is decided.
Oh.
What are you laughing at?
Oh, horse maxing is potentially a term for the people that are into ivermectin or whatever.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay.
Oh, that landed way in a way better place.
It's good that our politics are clear, especially on this episode, to arouse any doubt.
I was. Okay, yeah, I was a little bit put off because one of the first results on Google when you search for horse maxing is from the Red Scare Pod Reddit. Don't like those people very much. Horse electrolytes. Wait, horse maxing, the guy who's been drinking horse electrolytes finally shared his blood test results. Oh, wait, shit. What? Okay. Yeah. No, I saw this. There was a guy on Twitter who was just here's the tweet. Never buying Gatorade again. 5-pound bucket of fucking horse electrolytes from Tractor Supply. Never getting hungover again or being iron deficient. I am the hashtag boss. Sipping on half of a horse dose and I feel great. My skin is fucking tingling.
Oh, no.
the bottle of this is so fucking good. It's called Apple. Finish Line Horse Products. The flavor is apple a day.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, let's put an image to the post.
I mean, I have heard of people, like eating dog food and stuff.
Yeah, no, and people take like fish antibiotics and stuff.
Oh, that's That's a crazy thing. Like, go on to Amazon and read the reviews for, like, animal veterinary antibiotics. And it's all people who are, like, not using them for animals.
No. And, like, there's no policing on it at all. Yeah, yeah. And they shared blood test results. Their liver enzymes are really bad, but that could be...
the blood test is you are now a centaur.
Now, wait, did they send in for a blood test for a normal human, or did they send in for a blood test for a horse?
Oh, man, they're doing great for a horse. They are... Yeah. Huh. All right. I feel comfortable with horse maxing, it is to say.
Yep.
Don't feel too comfortable with
that. That's going to be my new response for how's it going? Great for a horse.
Apple a day, you know what I'm saying?
All right, I'm going to stop recording.